Welcome to Interpreter Insights. I'm Martin Tanner, your host. Our insight today is into the Latter-day Saint doctrine of a mother in heaven. The Interpreter Foundation supports the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints by making the latest and best scholarship available to you at interpreterfoundation.org, where you will find podcasts, journal articles, scholarship, books, seminars, films, and symposia. Please tell your friends about this and all of our forthcoming interpreter insights. And please give us a five-star rating. If you're interested in learning more about who Brigham Young really was, I encourage you to watch Interpreter's video series hosted by Dan Peterson called Becoming Brigham. Each one debunks misconceptions about Brigham Young with facts. Learn who the real Brigham Young was. You can find it at interpreterfoundation.org or just do a Google search for Becoming Brigham Interpreter Foundation or something close to that. And if you are looking for a fabulous trip this summer, join Interpreter Foundation's tour of Great Britain led by Dan Peterson, Chris Fredrickson, and Peter Fagg. If you do, you will explore LDS church history sites, learn about early church missionaries who preached the gospel in the UK, and about their amazing converts. You'll visit cathedrals, palaces, quaint villages, be a part of local events, and finally enjoy 4 memorable days in London. Space is limited. Book now. Go to bountifultravel.com or simply call 801-453-9444. And here's the disclaimer: because the Interpreter Foundation is not owned or controlled by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, whatever I say today is my own responsibility. And now, insights into the Latter-day Saint doctrine of a mother in heaven. The belief in a mother in heaven must have originated with Joseph Smith. Although we have no recorded sermon where he mentioned her existence, there were a number of contemporaries with Joseph Smith who reported that he taught the concept as a logical extension of the plan of salvation and the doctrine that humans are the literal offspring of divine parents. The earliest known reference to a mother in heaven, although somewhat veiled, was in the February 1, 1844 issue of the Times and Seasons. Notice this is even before Joseph Smith's death, which would be several months later. In the Times and Seasons article, William Wines Phelps published a poem called A Song of Zion, which describes a woman who was hidden for a good purpose. In his poem, quote, hid for good. The woman is, quote, the Queen of Heaven, who Phelps describes as glorious as if she were standing in the gold of Ophir. This, it would seem, is the first published reference to a heavenly mother. Times and Seasons, Volume 5, Number 3, February 1, 1844. Another early reference to a mother in heaven is in an 1844 Christmas Day letter. This is, of course, after Joseph Smith's death. The letter was by W.W. Phelps to Joseph Smith's brother and apostle, William Smith. The letter was published in Times and Seasons, Volume 6, Number 1, in January of 1845. In the letter, Phelps includes a poem, Phelps loved poems, wrote a lot of them. This poem was entitled A Voice from the Prophet, Come to Me, close quote. And in the final stanza of this poem, Phelps talks about, quote, the mother of mothers in heaven, close quote. This actually predates the much more famous publication of Eliza R. Snow's poem, My Father in Heaven, which eventually turned into our famous church hymn, Oh My Father, predated Eliza R. Snow's poem by about a year. The third reference to a mother in heaven is Eliza R. Snow's poem. It was entitled My Father in Heaven, and as I just mentioned, it's essentially our current LDS hymn, Oh My Father. This particular hymn talks about parents in heaven, and it says, truth is reason, truth eternal, tells me I've a mother there in heaven. Times and Seasons, Volume 6, Number 17, if you have interest in that. So we assume Phelps got the concept of a mother in heaven from Joseph Smith, even though he never explicitly said so, but we know that Eliza R. Snow got the concept of a mother in heaven from Joseph Smith, who, according to her, taught her the idea in some detail. There's a footnote in the Official History of the Church, Volume 5, on page 254, that quotes Joseph Smith as saying, quote, come to me. Here are the mysteries man hath not seen. Here's our Father in heaven and our mother, the Queen, close quote. Other early accounts of Joseph Smith teaching about a mother in heaven are from a secondhand account told by Zena Huntington, who said that Joseph Smith told Zena at the time of her mother's death, quote, not only would she know her mother again on the other side, but more than that, you will meet and become acquainted with your eternal mother, the wife of your father in heaven, close quote. Quite an amazing reference to a Joseph Smith teaching, although secondhand. In addition, members of the anointed quorum, which was a highly select and not often discussed and little known leadership group in the early LDS Church that was privy to Joseph Smith's teachings, acknowledged the existence of a mother in heaven. And then we have another early reference to a mother in heaven in another 1845, this time, Times and Seasons article, in which the letter to the editor was pseudonymous. And we know now that the author was W.W. Phelps. The person, pseudonym, was Joseph's speckled bird. And we now know that even though Joseph's speckled bird, the pseudonym for the author, referred to W.W. Phelps because what happened was that Joseph Smith gave W.W. Phelps a patriarchal blessing in which he called Phelps Joseph's speckled bird, essentially held up to ridicule by the world, held up as a speckled bird for the world to gaze at. Apostle William Smith, also the brother of Joseph Smith, was the editor of a little-known LDS periodical in New York called The Prophet. In the January 1st, 1845 issue, Parley P. Pratt published an article entitled The World Turned Upside Down. A partial quote from it says, quote, the foolishness of this world. It's narrow-mindedness, it's bigotry and ignorance is such that if a man would suggest that there is a heavenly mother as well as a father, the world would at once exclaim, he is a heretic. Close quote. Of course, we know that Parley P. Pratt later expanded on the idea of Heavenly Mother in his 1855 book, Key to the Science of Theology. After Joseph Smith's death, church members began more openly discussing and teaching the concept of heavenly parents, framing that idea as a necessary component of eternal progression. That continued on for quite some time. One of the most famous pronouncements was in 1909 when the first presidency issued a formal statement called The Origin of Man, which explicitly stated that, quote, all men and women are in the similitude of the universal father and mother and are literally the sons and daughters of deity, close quote. Today, the belief of a heavenly mother remains a distinctive part of Latter-day Saint theology, which emphasizes that gender is eternal, is an eternal characteristic, and that divine personhood requires a union of the sacred, masculine, and feminine. In the LDS Church, the belief or doctrine of heavenly mother or heavenly parents is taught and discussed even now much more often than Latter-day Saints imagine. I alluded earlier to the hymn number 292, O My Father, which refers to heavenly parents. We also have hymn 286, O What Songs of the Heart, which refers to heavenly parents. And we have a third hymn, number 311, We Meet Again as Sisters, which refers to, again, heavenly parents. The church has other places where it discusses and lays out this concept of Heavenly Mother. One of them is in the Mother in Heaven Gospel Topics essay from 2015, the most significant official publication perhaps to date. This essay provides comprehensive historical and doctrinal overview, confirming that the belief in a mother in heaven is a cherished and distinctive doctrine. The young women's theme, revised in 2019, has as its official theme, of course, quote, I am a beloved daughter of heavenly parents with a divine nature and eternal destiny, close quote. In the gospel doctrines, excuse me, in the gospel topics section of the church's website, if you search for heavenly parents, you will find a dedicated entry in the church's digital library that defines the nature of exaltation as requiring both a heavenly father and a heavenly mother. And recently, we have had several general conference talks specifically addressing and affirming the doctrine of a heavenly mother. In April Conference 2022, just a few years ago, Apostle Dale Renland gave a talk entitled, quote, Your Divine Nature and Eternal Destiny, which affirmed the existence of a heavenly mother, while clarifying that church members do not pray to her. President Dallin Oaks, then first counselor in April 2020, conference gave a talk called The Great Plan, in which he stated, our theology begins with heavenly parents and continuing on with the idea that our highest aspiration is to become like them. In his April 2021 conference talk, M. Russell Ballard spoke of hope in Christ and referred to the divine plan designed by heavenly parents. We also have a number of recent magazines and curriculum that refer to and teach about a heavenly mother. There's an article called A Mother There in BYU Studies from 2011, which is a comprehensive survey of historical teachings on the subject. We have the 2021 Liahonan Ensign articles, including one that is entitled, quote, Our Mother in Heaven, close quote. There are also various messages on the family that have talked about heavenly parents. And then you have lesson 9 from the official teaching manual on Latter-day Saint women, with the exact title is The Latter-day Saint Woman, colon, Basic Manual for Women, Part A. And the specific lesson is Lesson 9, Chastity and Modesty. And in it, it talks about heavenly parents. We also have Gospel Principles, Chapter 2, that talks about our heavenly family and references Heavenly Mother and heavenly parents. Spencer W. Kimball's May 1978 Ensign article, The True Way of Life and Salvation, references a Heavenly Mother. The LDS Seminaries and Student Book of Mormon manuals, starting back in the 1970s, specifically in 1976, talked about becoming spirit children, that we were a spirit child of heavenly parents. And perhaps for our days, one of the most important things is the church's official proclamation entitled The Family, a Proclamation to the World, in which heavenly parents are specifically mentioned. If you go back a little bit further in time, there are many sermons and conference talks given by Brigham Young, James H. Talmage, Bruce R. McConkie, Spencer Kimball, Gordon B. Hinckley, Neil Maxwell, and many, many others that talk about a heavenly mother and heavenly parents. Currently, we are virtually, not entirely, but virtually unique in our belief in a mother in heaven, but nearly all world religions have at some point had a female deity as part of their belief systems. If you go back in time, you can find in the Jewish faith 30 plus that I found inscriptions to Asherah, who is a female deity. We also have 2,000-year-old childbirth Jewish prayers to Asherah, the mother in heaven, to protect their children. I'm not advocating for that. I'm just mentioning a fact that early Jews did pray to Asherah for protection in childbirth. There are hundreds of archaeological artifacts that reference Asherah or a mother in heaven. There are at least four Hebrew inscriptions pairing Asherah and Yahweh together. In other words, Jehovah had a wife, Asherah, according to four Hebrew blessing inscriptions. There are a number of different ways that there was a Trinitarian concept, not in the current sense of the phrase Trinity, but in the early configurations of Christianity, in which there was a father in heaven, a mother in heaven, and a son. We also have some of the oldest sculptures known in the world, which are known to be female deities. A number of notable non-Latter-day Saint scholars, including William Deaver, Raphael Patai, both of whom I've had the wonderful opportunity to interview on this particular subject, who have written extensively about a mother in heaven or female deity. You also have notable scholars Ruth Hestron, William F. Albright, Frank Cross, David Friedman, James Pritchard, and many, many others. And we now know that the quite famous early Christian texts, although written at some point in the apostasy, if I say that from an LDS point of view, we now have the quite famous Nag Hammadi codices, in which there are the doctrine of a divine mother as well as a divine father that were apparently part of early Christianity. That is the reference I mentioned earlier about a father, mother, and son as sort of an early way to define the Trinity. Then, of course, you have the biblical citation of Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 18, and Jeremiah chapter 44, verse 17, both of which refer to the Queen of Heaven. One of the most famous religious scholars of our day has been Elaine Pagels, Princeton University scholar, who wrote an amazing article called, quote, "What Became of God the Mother?" Close quote. And she talks in there about different images and beliefs of a mother deity in early Christianity. Her characteristics, according to Elaine Pagels, were is that she is the mother of all living. She's often associated as the Holy Spirit in some cases. And the Apostle John, in an apocryphal work, marvels when he sees a vision in heaven in which there is God the Father and God the Mother and the Son Jesus, who had by that time ascended into heaven. One of my favorite books on this topic is by William Deaver, who wrote a book called Did God Have a Wife? Archaeology and Folk Religion in Ancient Israel. In there, he makes a compelling case for the idea that most early Jews believed that God had a wife, that Jehovah indeed had a wife. And another book that backs up that idea was Columbia Professor. And by the way, William Deaver is one of the foremost world experts on Jewish thought and Jewish history. He's just amazing. He taught at Harvard for a while, University of Arizona, and at many other prestigious places. He's also kind of a friend to the Latter-day Saints. Another scholar who fit into that same genre, but who has since passed on, was Columbia professor Raphael Patai, who I had the great fortune to interview a few times. And he strongly believed that there was a Hebrew goddess. As a matter of fact, he wrote a book in 1967, which went through several printings and several revisions and expansions. The Hebrew Goddess remains one of the most amazing books on this subject, and I highly recommend it. Patai had a strong belief that the Jews, as part of their main thought in ancient times, believed in a mother deity. I could go on for a long time, but I'm going to only mention a few other accounts. These are not widespread, but they're accounts from early diary entries. that are sort of fascinating about a mother in heaven. One of them is from the colorful Zebedee Coltrane, who said that there was a time when, well, I'll just do the quote, which is short. Quote, "One day the prophet Joseph Smith asked me and Sidney Rigdon to accompany him into the woods to pray. Whereupon we laid upon our backs in a secluded spot, and Joseph lay down on his back and stretched out his arms. And we all shut our eyes and had begun to pray. And as we did so, we saw a brilliant light standing surrounding and a pedestal which seemed to rest on earth. Then we closed our eyes again, and Joseph prayed more. And then we saw, upon opening them, the Father seated upon a throne. We prayed again and saw the Mother also. And praying again, saw the Savior added to the group." Close quote. Fascinating quote. There have been dozens and dozens and dozens of talks by early and current general authorities, starting with Brigham Young all the way down to our current president, Dallin Oaks, who have taught the concept of a mother in heaven. There have been newspaper articles about it, and some of our best scholars have talked about it. I'll close with sort of a fun quote from the scholar and 70, B.H. Roberts, who was criticizing back the people who criticized the church about the idea of a mother in heaven. B.H. Roberts said, quote, "They object to the idea of Jesus having a literal heavenly father. But then they also complain because we believe that we have for our spirits a heavenly mother as well as a heavenly father." Now observe the peculiar position of these critics. It's all wrong for Jesus to have a mother, but it's all, excuse me, it's all wrong. It's all right for Jesus to have a mother, but it's all wrong for Jesus to have a father. On the other hand, it's all right for us to have a father in heaven, but it's all wrong for us to have a mother in heaven, which is kind of a funny way to say it. As we think about the wonderful addition to the world that women in our lives make, we should consider the wonderful addition to heaven that our Heavenly Mother must indeed make. One of the most fascinating things that has happened to me is that as I have over the years studied near-death experiences, I have encountered and heard and memorialized nearly at this point, two dozen near-death experience accounts in which the person saw at one point their mother in heaven. This is a true doctrine. It has been with the church from the beginning. It is with us today. It has been a part of other Christian groups, mostly in early Christianity, and also in the pre-Christian era, part of and a very core part of the beliefs and doctrines of the Jewish faith. Join me again next time. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Interpreter Insights.